think I've pointed this out to us before, but that last hymn we just finished singing, if you noticed, when the author lived in the 1500s, we're still singing the same hymns, aren't we? The Word of God doesn't change, God doesn't change, and the hymns of God's people, the truth doesn't change either. Now, if you will, let's open our Bibles this evening to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. I hope to speak to us for just a short while tonight before we observe the Lord's Supper. Revelation chapter 21. Let me read verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now look down to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the last seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The Lamb's wife. John sees her coming down out of heaven as the holy city, the new Jerusalem, the Lamb's wife. You know, there are several relationships used in the Scripture which express the union between God's people and our Savior. Relationships between believers and the Lord Jesus Christ. To name just a few of these, we are referred to as his portion, something that is given to him. We are also referred to as his people. I brought a message recently on that subject, and we saw how all through the Scriptures we read about his people. And then also we think about the fact that we are referred to as his sheep. He is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And also, his wife, the Lamb's wife, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, of all of these relationships that I've just mentioned, his portion, his people, his sheep, his wife expresses to me the closest of these relationships. And I say that because in the beginning, when God created man, and then God created Eve, his wife, for man, Adam made this statement. And I know he was inspired of God because it is repeated in the New Testament, part of it, in different places. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Union. They shall be one flesh. The man and the woman are joined together in marriage, and they shall be one flesh. So believers are referred to as the Lamb's wife, the bride of the Lamb. Doesn't that show a very near and close relationship? To me, more so than to be his portion, his sheep, or his people even. Now, I have several parallels for us tonight to look at, which are suggested by this relationship of husband and wife. The holy city, Jerusalem, prepared as a bride, is the Lamb's bride. First, there's choice. Choice. The Son of God chose His wife. There's choice. John chapter 15 and verse 16, the Lord Jesus said this, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And then just a few verses down, He said, "I have chosen you out of the world." A man chooses his bride, and so Christ, He chose His bride, His wife. Many people, when they read that passage there in John 15, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," they like to say, well, that's just referring to His 12 disciples. That's not talking about election. That's not speaking about God choosing His church, His bride, His wife. Well, no doubt it does have special reference to the 12 disciples of our Lord. But the truth of that verse, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," is taught all through the Scripture. Divine election. God chose His people. The man, the husband, the lamb, He chose. The Son of God chose His wife. Another verse of Scripture is in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. And no one can surely say this is only speaking of the 12 disciples, because this was written to believers in the church at Thessalonica by the Apostle Paul. He said, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation." Doesn't say chosen you to be one of the 12 disciples. There were only 12 of those who walked with the Lord while He was here in the flesh. But God's elect, God's wife, or the Lamb's wife, rather, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, she was chosen out of every nation, every kindred, and every tongue, and every tribe. That's what we read in the book of Revelation. God has His chosen in this world, the bride of the Lamb. The Son of God chose His wife. And that verse of Scripture which says we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, brings me to my second point. First, there is choice. The Son of God chose His wife. And second, there is love. The Son of God loves His wife. Now, this is truly amazing. I know for all of God's children, it is truly amazing to think about the love of God. The love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for His wife, for His church. In Ephesians 3 and verse 19, Paul says that the love of Christ passeth knowledge. The love of Christ passeth knowledge. And then later in that same letter, chapter 5 and verse 25, he said, Christ also loved the church. Now in that verse, in Ephesians 5:25, where Paul tells us Christ also loved the church, he exhorts, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Now think about it. If Christ's love for His bride, for His church, was not special, is not special, then there is no way that the Apostle Paul would admonish husbands to love their wives even as Christ loved the church. If His love for His church is not special, special, His love, it is an eternal love, an everlasting love. It is a love, my friends, that will never end. Paul would not encourage husbands to love their wives even as Christ loved the church if His love for His church was not special. He wouldn't encourage husbands, you love your wives like you love everyone else. No, the love between a husband and his wife is a special love. Those of us who are parents here tonight, we love our children. We love our children. And children here tonight, we love our parents. But both of those loves do not compare with the love that exists between husband and wife. It is a special love. A special love. Because they're one. They're one. Paul, in that passage, he said, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Cherish your wife because you love her. There's love, the Son of God. What am I saying? I'm saying that there's a relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and all believers that is referred to or pictured by the relationship between a husband and his wife. And first of all, I said there's choice. A man chooses his bride. Christ chose his bride. And second, there's love. The Son of God loves his church. Don't you love that passage in John chapter 13? Just before the Lord Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet, when it opens up, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Unto the end. There is no end to his love. It's a special love. And third, there is commitment. The Son of God committed to his wife. Look with me to John chapter 17. There's choice, there's love, and there's commitment. John chapter 17. Of course, you recognize this as our Lord's Prayer. In verse 19, notice what he said. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. For their sakes. Now, all through this chapter, those who are given to him, that's for whom he sanctified himself. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. All through this chapter, he is speaking about those who were given to him. You notice in verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And also in verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Again in verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. And then again in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Now, in this verse here, verse 19, he said, for their sakes I sanctify myself. I said there's commitment. The husband, he commits to his wife. And when the Lord speaks of sanctifying himself, you know, some people, when they see that word sanctify or sanctification, they immediately say, well, that's talking about holiness. Sometimes it is. But the Lord Jesus Christ here, he's not saying I'm making myself more holy, because he is holy, always has been holy, and cannot be any more holy. He set himself apart. He committed himself for their sakes. I sanctify myself. I commit myself for their sakes. And he committed himself to die in the stead and in the place of his people, those who were given unto him. You know, someone one time said, in the gospel, there's two things that you will always hear. Substitution and satisfaction. substitution, and satisfaction. When the gospel is preached, we hear that Christ substituted himself in the place of someone. He suffered in the place of someone. He was chastised in the place of someone. Someone is healed by his stripes. And we know who those someones are. They are those whom the Father gave unto him. He sanctified him. He set himself apart to the suffering of the cross and the death that he experienced in the place of. And then I said there's always substitution, always satisfaction. He satisfied God, didn't he? He did. He satisfied God for all the sins of all of those who were given to him. There's commitment. The Son of God committed himself to his bride to do whatever is necessary, whatever the Father requires, whatever God's law and God's justice demanded, he committed himself to accomplish. And he has done that. He is committed to his wife. In the book of Malachi, God said this. He hates putting away. He hateth putting away. And of course, in the context there, it has to do with divorce. He hateth putting away. That those men, our Lord said, for the hardness of your heart, Moses granted to write a bill of divorce. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our husband. He hates putting away. And you may be sure of this, those who are married to him, those who are his wife, will never be put away. They'll never be put away in any form or fashion. Why? Because he is committed to saving each and every one and bringing each and every one to the Father's house and presenting us to the Father and being able to say, here am I and the children which thou hast given me. And not one is going to be lost. It amazes me, I guess it shouldn't, but it amazes me that there are people who claim to represent God, the God of the Bible, and they speak as though a person could be saved and then be lost. What kind of love is that? What kind of salvation is that? I tell you, it's not God's salvation. He hateth putting away. He's committed to his wife. He set himself apart to do everything needful. And number four, first there's choice, there's love, there's commitment, there's providing. The Son of God provides for his wife. He provides her clothing. If we could see each other here tonight like God sees us, we're all dressed in those shining robes of righteousness. Those of us who know Christ. He provides our clothing, doesn't he? Remember what the father said of that prodigal son when he came home? You know that prodigal, he was willing to be made like one of the servants, wasn't he? He made up his mind, that's what I'm going to tell my dad when I get home. Make me like one of the servants. That's I don't even deserve that, but make me like one of the servants. And the father said, no way. And the first thing he commanded to be put on this prodigal son who came home, the best robe. Now you can search through heaven and earth and hell and everywhere else, and you will find that the best robe is the robe of Christ's righteousness. That robe with which he clothes his bride, his wife. He provides. He provides her clothing. He provides her nourishment. He provides her food and drink. Remember, he said, "Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." He provides his wife's nourishment. We continue. I ate yesterday. I imagine most of you did too. But you know what? I ate again today. And if God lets me live and I'm not in the hospital, I'll probably eat again tomorrow. We need nourishment, don't we? Physical nourishment. But my friends, how much more nourishment do our souls need? We must feed upon Christ day by day, eating His flesh and drinking His blood, believing Him, trusting Him, that through His sacrifice, His blood, His flesh that was crucified, that we have life, eternal life. And he provides her lodging. A husband does that for his wife, doesn't he? He provides her clothing. He provides her food, her nourishment. He provides her shelter, her lodging. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, "In my Father's house are many, many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you." Number five, there's companionship. The Son of God, He communes with His wife. He communes with her. Look over to John 14 just a moment. This is a precious passage of Scripture. Our Lord was speaking with His disciples before He went away, before He went to the cross. And He promised them that He would not leave them orphans. He would not leave them comfortless. But look at what He says in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we will come unto him and make our abode with him." There's companionship. He lives in us. One hymn writer said, "He walks with me and talks with me along life's weary way." Companionship. And then number six, there's rejoicing. The Son of God rejoices in His wife. All of these things are true of husbands and their wives. The husband chooses his wife. The husband loves his wife. The husband commits to his wife. The husband provides for his wife. The husband is a companion to his wife. And the husband rejoices in his wife or over his wife. You say, where do you find that? In Zephaniah. I won't ask you to turn. Zephaniah, chapter number 3 and verse 17. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, He will rejoice over thee with joy, He will rest in His love, He will joy over thee with singing." The Son of God is said to joy over His people and also to rest in His love. He takes the utmost delight and satisfaction in His wife. Now, those are all things that speak to us of the husband, that remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ and His relation to us. But let's remember there are some things that believers, as His wife, are told to do. There's three things. First of all, we are to submit ourselves unto our own husband. Isn't that what Paul said? "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband." He's our husband. We are to submit ourselves unto him. Number two, we are to be in subjection unto our husband. Again, wives, be in subjection to your husbands. And third, we are to reverence our husband. The wife, see that she reverence her husband. Now, when you look at those three exhortations that the apostles give to wives, believing wives, I don't expect unbelieving wives to receive that, do you? I don't expect that at all. And if I do expect it, I'm going to be disappointed. But I do expect those who are believers, because this is what the Word of God teaches. Husbands are to love their wives, and wives are to submit themselves unto their husband, be in subjection to their husbands, and reverence their husband. Basically, I think they're all three of those exhortations are saying the same thing, aren't they? Sure they are. They're all pretty much the same. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." So, just some thoughts tonight of the relationship between the husband and his wife, Christ and his bride, his wife, the church. Chosen, loved, have his commitment, have his providing, have his companionship, and have his rejoicing over us. And our responsibility then is to reverence him, to obey him, to submit ourselves unto him. I pray that the Lord would bless these words to all of us here tonight. I'm going to ask the men if